Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in studio, we have Joe Scott, who's a well-known pro-life activist leader. Joe, you're in because something dramatic happened yesterday.
Yes, we had just an unbelievable day yesterday with a young woman in an abortion clinic that contacted Colorado Right to Life and then me because she wasn't allowed to leave when she changed her mind.
A girl went in. Could we say which abortion clinic?
Mayfair.
Mayfair Women's Center in Aurora.
Right.
And she was going to have an abortion. They actually began the procedure by inserting something called laminaria.
Right, into the cervix.
Which has happened, and when women, for whatever reason, change their mind, don't go through with it, they could remove that, and that's
right.
Not a big complication at all. And they didn't want to let her leave. Let's hold on for a few minutes, do a few news stories, and then let's hear that whole story.
Okay.
Now, this woman wanted to be in the studio today, but
yes.
Where is she right now?
Well, there have been some complications, and she's at least at the doctor's. I don't know if they've transferred her to a hospital.
So she doesn't, she's, according to her relatives, she's not feeling well.
Right.
And in turmoil over the events of yesterday.
So we need to be praying about that.
Okay. So first, let's go to a bit of news. Harriet Myers, who is George W. Bush's nominee for Supreme Court, I haven't seen this in all the reporting about her, Joe.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. Now, she went to Southern Methodist University, and she got a couple degrees there. And for years, she was on the advisory board for Southern Methodist from 89 to 2001.
So this is since her conversion to Christianity.
That happened when? In 88?
88, I think, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. Since then, she's been on the board for Southern Methodist University, which is a secular liberal college.
Right.
And she pushed for the creation of a lectured series, an endowed lecture series in women's studies.
Oh, Bob.
Now, right there, that sounds scary. Every women's studies person, professor that I've met in 15 years of doing the show has been chilling. But anyway, so she pushed for an endowed lecture series in women's studies, and this is in the late 1990s. This is not ancient history.
It's new.
And guess who were the first speakers?
Don't tell me.
Well, one is a former Democratic congresswoman from Colorado.
Schroeder.
Pat Schroeder.
Oh, you're kidding.
Pat Schroeder. Oh. The very first speaker was Gloria Steinem.
Oh, my goodness.
Total pro-abort, socialist. Radical feminist, anti-man,
anti-God, anti-child.
Yeah, right. And then Ann Richards, Democrat, totally liberal.
Uh-huh. Texas?
Yeah. Former governor of Texas. And so right there is pretty scary. Now, she did get a law degree, Harriet Myers did, from Southern Methodist University, and she became the president of the Texas State Bar Association, which is pretty interesting. Well, while there, she had a column in their group's newsletter, and she called for things like, for example, increased funding for legal services for the poor. And I don't know if you follow that issue, but the legal services corp and all these legal services groups around the country and nationally are as liberal as liberal can be.
Right.
On every issue and every bit of influence, it's basically like the tax money for ACLU lawyers.
Right, it's rob from the rich and
to push their agenda.
Pervert the poor.
Right, push their political agenda in the guise of helping poor people. Norma McCorvey.
Exactly.
Isn't she a good example of poor people? Uninformed people being used by lawyers to push an agenda?
Absolutely. In fact, she's going to be confronting the lawyer that used her in Roe versus Wade to pass that lying to her.
Norma McCorvey is the woman who is Roe of Roe v. Wade.
That's right.
Back in 1973, that was her case. And she now, after being used as a pawn by the abortion industry for years, she's now become a Christian. She's pro-life
and an activist.
She's trying to overturn her law.
Right.
Roe v. Wade. How many times has that happened where somebody goes to court and they win? They go to the U.S. Supreme Court, they win, and then they say, wait a minute, this was a big lie, and I want my case overturned. That's historic. And one of our dear friends is the minister who baptized Norma McCorvey.
Yeah, Flip Benham.
Flip Benham, who was in Denver for a week in July.
Right.
With a few hundred of our closest friends.
Right.
And so anyway, so Harriet Myers, she sets up the endowed lecture series in women's studies at Southern Methodist University. And this is in the late 1990s. And the first speakers are Gloria Steinem, Pat Schroeder, Ann Richards. And then, and that doesn't mean she believes everything they believe.
No, but she set up the women's studies program. Everyone knows what that is.
The whole deal, right. It's just as destructive as to traditional morality as could be.
Yes.
That whole scene. And those three speakers give you a great idea. I mean, she's the one who pushed for the creation of the series, and then these are the first speakers.
Right.
So there you have it. And then she calls for increased funding for legal services for the poor. And in her column, the Texas State Bar Association newsletter, in her column, she called for a general call that taxes should be raised to achieve the notion of justice for all. Now, that to me, that sounds like...
How does that work? Taxes raised so that they can be stolen from the rich and given to the poor? Or
we already pay about half of our GNP to the government at all levels. So raised to what? Half is not enough.
Right.
So anyway, every way you look at this woman's career so far, she is not a judge who's going to uphold a Judeo-Christian moral worldview.
That's for sure.
She's just not. And she'll be just like John Roberts in that she has no moral foundation that would be prevailing. She's going to rubber stamp and validate whatever broken law comes along. As long as we follow the process, then fine. You want to lower the age of consent for kids, young girls getting pregnant? Fine, as long as you follow the process. So that's what we're going to see from judges that George W. Bush are giving us in the future. Okay. By the way, no one has responded yet to my challenge to evolutionist regarding the caterpillar.
Gee, I wonder why.
I wonder why. Okay. Now, evolutionists obviously have some difficult intellectual hurdles to respond to. One, for example, is a caterpillar. If evolution occurs in tiny steps, stages, gradually over thousands of generations, millions of years, how do you go from an insect like a caterpillar to where it's gradually, step by step, evolving to where it spins a cocoon around itself, it liquefies itself, and then it reassembles itself into a flying insect? That we call a butterfly.
And it has to stay in the liquefied stage for millions of years, right? While it's learning how to reassemble itself.
I hope not. That probably wouldn't work. But so anyway, I'm asking an evolutionist to call in with a rough algorithm about how that would happen without any direction, without any goal, just happen by chance. And then if it worked out, then natural selection could select it. In other words, yeah, you could survive if it worked, but how is it going to start to begin in the first place? So we're asking an evolutionist to call in with that one. Oh, yeah, and then about dinosaurs. You know, supposedly the fossils are all millions of years old. And how is it now the amazing discovery of blood and soft tissue from a T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Wow, Bob, does that mean they could probably clone one?
We're sure heading in that direction. Wow. I don't know what kind of creature they'd put it in. I guess anything that lays an egg.
Yeah.
But at any rate, there's a couple questions out there for evolutionists. How is it if this stuff is millions of years old, we could find blood and soft tissue?
Amazing.
Isn't it amazing? Not fossilized. That's pretty cool. Okay, so what else have we got? That's Harriet Myers and caterpillars.
Right. And I have a story out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
45 bodies found at Memorial Medical Center after the disaster. They're all going to be tested for toxic substances.
That's the doctor who spoke on CNN saying he believes that another doctor at the hospital killed a number of patients, injected them with poison.
Right. He says he became suspicious when he overheard a conversation. And so that suggested that the patients should be put out of their misery. Unbelievable. Who thinks that they can do that?
Yeah. So doctors, you know, if you throw away the general rule of thou shalt not murder, don't kill the innocent, then what you have is human beings are on their own to come up with whatever they think is right. And you've got a doctor at a hospital and people are being evacuated and the electricity doesn't work, the water doesn't work. And so one doctor talks to a hospital official and says, hey, I think we should euthanize these people. They'd be better off. And then what's the rate of increase of death over the next 24 hours? What did they have?
I think it said 10 times.
10 times as many people died over the next 24 hours
as
normal. So now these bodies are in a morgue. And they're going to test them.
Right. And to see if they've been overdosed. And I certainly hope not only they find out the truth, but if anyone did this, that they find out who did it and prosecute them to the fullest.
Yeah. Well, this one doctor, I mean, it's pretty extraordinary that he's telling the story because he's a doctor from the hospital and he heard a hospital official and another doctor talking about killing the patients.
That's right.
So, wow. All right.
You got an amazing email today, Bob.
What a neat email.
I know.
Let me tell the audience, for those who've been listening to this show from the early days, 15 years ago, we had a call from a 14-year-old girl from Denver Public School, Nicole. I don't know if that's her real name. But anyway, she called in and she hated my guts because of the things we were saying. We're just talking about right and wrong. Just traditional Christian morality. And she hated my guts. And it was a fierce call. Joe, that was before your time, right?
Right.
You were in California back then?
Yeah.
And so anyway, we had this just horrendously difficult conversation. And it ended painfully. And it was just a nightmare. And some Christians would criticize me because that was on Christian TV.
And you were a little harsh.
Yeah, I was a bit firm with her, maybe a bit harsh or confrontational. And I get criticized. Don't you know that that's rude and you shouldn't talk to people like that? And I'm thinking, hey, I was doing the best I could to try to get her to wake up. Then a year later, I go to take a call. And the first words are, Bob, this is Nicole. And a chill went down my spine.
So you recognized her?
Immediately. And later I found out. Everyone in the audience who had heard the first call, everybody knew it was her immediately. And in 1 year, she had softened significantly. Well, now we get an email from her, 11, 12 years later.
Yeah.
So here's this email. Would you read it?
Yeah, sure. It says, I don't know if you remember me, but about 13 years ago, I used to call into your cable access show all the time.
How could I not remember her for one thing? And Nicole, it was not a cable access show. It was a broadcast TV show on cable also. I mean, Joe, it's so funny. We were on TV in 80 cities around the country and a ton of full power broadcast stations. And the media would never reference the show without calling it a cable access show.
Oh, brother.
What's with that? With that? At any rate.
They're maligning you.
Anyway, go ahead.
It says, my name is Christy. In quotes, she has Nicole. At one point, you actually spoke to my mother and invited me on your show. At the same time, I was a 14-year-old kid going to the Denver Public School. At first, our conversations were mostly me being irate and regurgitating moral positions that had been imposed by teachers in the media. Unfortunately, my parents never really discussed abortion or homosexuality with me, so I was vulnerable to other influences in my life. And believe me, there were many of them growing up in the DPS, Denver Public Schools.
Yeah.
At that moment in time, I thought you were a lunatic. I wonder what she thinks now. No. Who on earth could think this way?
In other words, who could think that homosexuality might be wrong? I mean, that's to kids growing up in our culture, they think that's the most bizarre thing they've ever heard.
And that was 13 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you stand up and say it's destructive and it's wrong and God made us male and female, and it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And you say these simple things and people can't believe their ears. That's how far we've come.
Yeah.
Right. And I get a little upset at these national Christian ministries that have yet not identified that the public school system in America needs to be opposed and parents need to warn their kids to take them and parents need to be warned to take their kids out of the public schools as a general rule.
I feel the same way. Everyone should be yelling that from the rooftop.
Well, let me ask you, Joe, if you work with kids all the time, full time in your ministry and pro-life work against abortion, teenage girls or girls in middle school and high school, do they get influenced by this pro-homosexual
climate? Absolutely.
And
it's unbelievable the change in the girls from even 5 years ago to today. Because today, the girls all admit to at least experimenting. None of them not even understanding that homosexuality is wrong. It's something you've got to experiment with to find out if you're one or not.
Yeah. So you said many of the girls you talk to say
yes.
That. So in other words, it's common.
Very common.
Bisexuality among girls in middle school and high school is widespread.
Yep.
That's
unfortunate, but
that's my
true.
Take on it. Very widespread. And you know what? The guys, they prefer it because they think that lowers the moral standards of the girls, and then the guys have an easier time abusing the girls.
Right. They have this, it's like a no holds barred community within the teenage community.
Yeah, so the child sex advocates really have won the victory in our public schools.
Unfortunately, that's the truth.
Right.
They've won.
I remember in Adams County, District 12, I was on the District Accountability Committee. I was vice chair of that. Mm-hmm. And this is quite a few years ago. And the superintendent of the district, he was talking about giving out condoms to kids at Adams City High School. And that's where 108 girls gave birth in 1 year. 108 babies were born to Adams City High School girls in Commerce City.
That's unbelievable because that's how many babies were born. Imagine the number of abortions.
Abortions, right.
They're probably much higher.
Yeah. So anyway, so I remember being in a meeting with him because I was on this accountability committee with teachers, administrators, and he was announcing that they give condoms to kids, and he jumped up onto his toes and threw his hands in the air over his head. And he said, "We even give condoms to kids."
Oh, brother.
Or to students. We even gave condoms to the students. Like he was just exhilarated by the thought.
Cheerleader. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, she goes on to say in this letter, it says, "I'd never been introduced to the other side of the coin until I came to your show. With your help, I embarked on a revelation of right and wrong and came out with a whole new perspective." That's fabulous to have somebody say about your show, Bob.
That's exciting, yeah.
"One night you showed footage or pictures of actual abortion, and I have to say that really had an effect on me, and I couldn't fully understand until I became a mother 5 years ago. By the time I was 15, 7 classmates had gotten pregnant, and only 2 kept their babies. That means the rest aborted.
Wow.
So abortion to me was a natural occurrence. Mm. The realization that every day innocent babies were being murdered was a huge catalyst in my life, and I soon changed my position on," and she has it capitalized with an exclamation point, "everything."
Mm-hmm.
So fast forwarding to the present.
That's pretty exciting, huh?
It's fabulous.
One kid rescued from a secular worldview by some talk show.
Just showing her the truth.
Yeah, just talking about. And the things we talked about are the things that marginalize out my show and other shows like it. Because if you are going to take on the homosexual issue,
right,
you're going to be marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian community doesn't really is not comfortable with people saying homosexuality is destructive, it's perverse, it makes people sick because it's gross,
right.
It's wrong, we need to restigmatize it, recriminalize it, and we should certainly not accept it or approve it or tolerate it. And so when you say that, you marginalize your own ministry, your revenue, your audience.
But it has to be said, Bob.
It has to be said.
And because you said it, this young woman turned her life around, which is fabulous, I think.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, and the same thing with abortion. You know, how many years has it been? Well, we've been on the air for almost 15 years. It's been 15 years where people have said to me, Bob, you talk too much against abortion.
Yeah.
And no kidding, I know that. I mean, I'm sick of the topic.
So am I.
But it's like if you're in Germany and they're killing Jews, and so you have a ministry, but you don't want to talk about killing Jews against it too much because it turns people off.
Wow.
It's like, it doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. That has to be a significant focus. When the innocent are being killed, that has to be a significant focus of a ministry in some way. It's not that.
You can't forget them. It's like ignoring the elephant in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It's not that everybody has to go protest at the abortion clinic. How many babies were saved so far this year at Planned Parenthood?
86
here in Denver at 20th and Vine. 86.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in some churches, their entire existence, they don't save 86 lives. And then all the people who come to the Lord through the daily pro-life ministry.
And one of the young
it's
women
so
that decided to keep her baby yesterday, Bob, I asked her, are you in a good church? She said, oh, yes. So we're a meeting
so she's
Monday.
Going to a good church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And don't we say that? Haven't we said that all these years that Christians get abortions at the same rate as unbelievers? We got Leslie Hanks on line 7. Leslie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Well, hi, Bob and Joe. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I just called the 800 number for American Girl because I have two granddaughters and I like their products, but I called them and said, gee, this is such disturbing news to hear before Christmas. I just won't be able to buy your product.
In other words, now Leslie Hanks is vice chairman of Colorado Right to Life.
Right.
And Leslie, it's an honor to have you call in. And so these dolls, these American Girl dolls, the organization, bad news has come out about them in the last few days.
Yeah.
Well, they have been apparently giving money to a foundation called the I Can Foundation that's supposed to encourage girls to be all they can be. But,
which sounds great.
I guess it was Don Wildman's organization determined that they also support Roe v. Wade, and I think they said lesbianism and bisexuality.
Well,
right.
What self-respecting women's studies group? Oh, they're not a women's studies group. They're a doll company.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's just part and parcel
Bob, you wouldn't know so much about these dolls, but these are one of the most wholesome doll you can buy for your child, and almost every homeschooler I know owns one.
Wow.
They're so cute. But here's what they told me. The gal was real polite and listened, and I said, well, I just won't be able to buy any of these for Christmas this year. And she said, well, now we only support three prongs of the ICANN organization, the one that supports getting girls more involved in sports and the other one about, you know, encouraging them to pursue education in math. And I really don't recall what the third angle was, but I said, honey, that just isn't going to cut it.
No.
You cannot, you know, claim you're only supporting part of an organization's agenda when they're supporting things that are destructive.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Your future customers.
Yeah, it's like giving money for Nazis for tree planting or something.
Right.
Right. Very
well, I
good.
Thought your
Thank
listeners
you.
Would enjoy that.
Thank
so
you, Leslie.
Keep the pressure up, folks.
Okay, will do.
God bless.
So American Girls.
American Girl Dolls.
American Girl Dolls. Too bad, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and then were you done with Nicole's letter?
No, I wasn't. Nicole goes on to say, she's fast forwarded to the future now, and she said, I'm a right-wing conservative, wife and mother of two, and I'm also a 4.0 college student working on becoming a teacher that presents the other side of education. You think DPS is bad? Our higher institutions are full of bleeding heart liberals. I draw from my early Bob and Yet Live experiences while I defend my position in the open and free class discussions.
All right.
I am a liberal professor's worst nightmare.
All right, Nicole.
All right, Bob. Look what you turned out.
and her name is actually Christy, right?
Christy, yeah.
Christy. Yeah. All right, Christy.
And she just says, I just wanted to send you a great big thank you. I needed a way back when and to let you know what a wonderful impact you've had on my life. I know I view marriage, children, and God differently because I turned in to your show.
Wow. And, you know, we had our telethon last month, and we met our goal of $10,000. And
about, you did?
Yeah, 10,000, over 11,300.
Praise the Lord. I didn't know that.
And our monthly goal, we increased $750 in new monthly pledges.
Wow.
So it was exciting, and it's thanks to people in the audience that we can stay on the air, on the internet, and continue to reach people. Now, Joe, we're almost out of time. Uh-huh. Let me see if I got the story straight. This 20-year-old went to for an abortion yesterday at Mayfair in Aurora. She went with her sister-in-law, and her sister-in-law was against the abortion and was trying to talk her sister-in-law out of it.
Right.
The abortionist at the abortion mill, they began by, they do something, they have this laminaria.
Right.
What helps them with dilation and extraction or whatever. Right. So they insert the laminaria.
Partially inserted it.
They partially inserted it, and she changed her mind.
Right. And called Colorado Right to Life and Linda Brake.
Well, why did they make that call?
I don't know. I haven't asked her yet. And then Linda called me, and I happened to be in a crisis with the girl who kept her baby yesterday on the other phone. So I told Linda.
You're on two phones.
Tell him to get out of there.
And I talked to Linda Brake also.
Oh, did you?
At Colorado Right to Life. And it seems that this girl said she changed her mind.
Right.
She wanted to leave.
Right.
And they didn't want her to leave.
Absolutely.
And they started lying to her and sort of threatening her.
They told her baby would be deformed if they took the laminaria out.
Which is a lie.
Flat out.
That her baby would be deformed. The abortionist told her that if she tried to leave, he would call the police and tell them that she was suicidal, so she'd be locked up for 72 hours,
which frightened her. And the abortionist, I don't think, was a man. But
okay, a woman. And then somebody in the abortion clinic physically blocked the door so the two of them couldn't leave.
Well, actually, Lisa, the sister-in-law was on the other side of the door and grabbed her sister-in-law's hand, the one getting the abortion, and tried to pull her past the man blocking the door, and he would not let her through.
He wouldn't let her through. I mean, you're not allowed to do stuff like that. But this is typical, not that that happens every day, but the bizarre things that happen in abortion clinics.
Unbelievable. I called a policeman and asked him if they could do that, and they said, absolutely not.
Right.
That's false imprisonment.
Yeah, false imprisonment. But because it's an abortion clinic, pretty much the cops and the courts don't care. Whatever they do is fine. So, but we're going to pursue this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and the girl has changed her mind and the baby is saved.
The baby has been saved. The baby might be in crisis.
Thanks to Lisa, the sister-in-law, Colorado Right to Life, Linda Brake, and Joe Scott. Thank you, Jeff. All right, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Check them out. Maranatha.